He describes this place as the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is torment. And of course, when you bring the scriptures together, it is eternal torment. For Christ never died for souls who are in such a place. And so my point is that even you do away with the word hell, replace it, substitute it, blot it out, whatever you think you want to do, you will not change the reality that there is a place of eternal suffering. Therefore, it's wise to be ready. It's wise to be sure that you are saved and ready for that coming of the Lord again. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and today we're turning to Matthew chapter 24 to look at this great statement of the Lord's return. We are told, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. These are clear words of warning from the lips of our Lord Jesus. And here today in Let the Bible Speak, we're going to just elaborate a little bit on what our Lord Jesus taught about his second coming. And soon we are preparing to remember the first coming of our Lord Jesus. And we do so annually. We do so regularly. But we also need to be prepared for the fact that he promised he will come again. And that is the event we need to be prepared for. Stay tuned now as we move to the pulpit ministry of our church, as we let the Bible speak on the coming of the Son of Man.
Now, the strongest text on this separation, this finality of the event, is really the final verse in the chapter, verse 51. And shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I want to pause a moment and point something out. Every verse that we've read, verse 29 to the end, is what we call didactic teaching. It's not parabolic. There's no imagery here. There's no analogies here. There's no figure of speech. These are facts. These are bold, plain, hard, concrete facts. And in this final verse, the Lord says that on that day, men will be cut asunder, separated. You will see wives torn from the very arms of their husbands, and vice versa. Children that were loved in their homes, left parentless because they're out of Christ without a Savior. They will be cut asunder and appoint as a portion with the hypocrites. Now, that warns me that there may be people who are close to living a Christian life. From all appearances on the outside, they look like they are living a Christian life. But all the while, they are to be joined with the hypocrites. And then lastly, in weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, some call this kind of preaching too strong for the modern day, but these are the words of our Savior. These are the words of our loving Lord Jesus, whose ministry was to call men and women, be ye also ready. This was to stir people to recognize the future fate of those who died without a Savior. And I just want to point you tonight to the very same things that the Lord Jesus did. Hell is real. Hell is terrible. Hell is forever. And it is a state that you must flee from. Be ye also ready. It is imperative that you prepare to save your soul and that you seek the Lord with all your heart. Because when that trumpet sounds, it's final. You are either saved or lost. There's no more transfer over. It is saved or lost. One left, the other taken. Which will it be for you? Now that is the faithful ministry of our Lord Jesus. And I think the Christian church can do no less than to likewise warn of these things. And so tonight we plead with you to prepare. Be ready. Do not play the fool with your soul and eternity. Make sure that you're saved. I want to now speak on the wisdom of watching. I notice that verse 44 begins with the word therefore. Therefore. Now, that is logic, that is argumentation, and it comes out of good, solid reasoning. And so the Lord, after laying all the facts and reasoning in these strong terms, the Lord makes an appeal on the basis of wisdom. It's the right thing to do, to be ready to meet God. Now, it is the wise thing to do because it will be very easy to be caught off guard. Watch, for in the hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And the Lord again points out that this hour is secret. The thief does not announce the hour of his coming. And the thing about the days of Noah, you know, often we are inclined to, and I'm not sure what foundation we can really build that on, and we might say, you know, that the end days or the last days of this world before the end will be days like Noah. They were days of violence, days of immorality, days of great wickedness. But in this passage, the Lord says there's going to be a lot of normality. There's going to be a lot of things that are just everyday, normal kind of living. You read here in this verse 38, for in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. Now, that's pretty normal. That's normal life. There's going to be no great crisis, no food shortage. There's going to be no warnings prior to the Lord's coming. When you go to the food store, it's empty. It's going to be eating and drinking, normality of living, marrying and giving in marriage. Now, even in the days of Noah, marriage was in place. We've probably gone way beyond in our society anything that ever took place in the days of Noah. The breakdown of marriage and the very institution of marriage has been so eroded in our generation that we are way past due. But what the Lord is pointing out is that on that day when he returns, these things are going to be in taking place. You can think of the day of Noah, and there is the bride walking down the aisle, and she gets rained out. She didn't plan for that, did she? There never had been rain before. And then the reception afterwards, there's just water everywhere. The flood has come. The rains are down. Judgment is coming. And all the while, people were planning, getting on with their lives, thinking about the future, and all manner of things continue to that hour. And so what the Lord is telling us, that when he comes, normality of living to a great degree will continue. Airports will be opening. Aircraft will be landing and taking off. Boats and ferries will be docking and shipping out. The docks will be working. Life will go on. Banks, boardrooms, the stock exchange. Kids will be going off to school with their lunches in the morning, saying goodbye to their parents for the day. Perhaps, if not saved, never to see them again, because in that hour the Lord will come. So do not look around you and conclude that because there is so much normality today, the time is not yet. It's so easy to be caught off guard. It's also wise to be ready, because the closest association with Christians will not count. I think of those who were in the field, at the mill, in the bed. One is taken, the other's left. And maybe someone got the idea, well, if I'm close to a Christian, I'll be safe. No, you aren't even safe in the church pew amongst Christians. If the Lord should come while the church service is on, and you're in the right bench, you're in the right place, but you're not ready, you're not saved, you're not a Christian, you've never given your heart to the Lord, and so you assume that you're well because you are among Christians, but that will not save your soul. It's also wise to be ready because of the terror of that final state. And I just go back to those final words, which seem so heartrending. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want you to know tonight that the doctrine of eternal punishment of souls that are tormented for all eternity does not hang upon a word. The word hell, Hades in the Greek, is probably one of the most contested words in theology today. The cults reject it, liberals, modernists, and even quasi-evangelicals, John Stott included, all had problems with the words in the Bible that refer to hell. One of the issues is, and it's the same with the Old Testament word Sheol, that the word can mean, according to context, the grave or the place of torment, according to the context. So you have one word that doubles up for both ideas. The grave, 6 feet under, or the place of fire and torment. But I want you to know tonight that the doctrine of eternal punishment does not hang nor hinge upon one word or two words, Hades and Sheol. You'll notice the Lord describes the place. He describes this place as the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is torment. And of course, when you bring the scriptures together, it is eternal torment. For Christ never died for souls who are in such a place. And so my point is that even you do away with the word hell, replace it, substitute it, blot it out, whatever you think you want to do, you will not change the reality that there is a place of eternal suffering. Therefore, it's wise to be ready. It's wise to be sure that you are saved and ready for that coming of the Lord again. And to think that someone in this meeting would suffer such things, gnashing of teeth, weeping forever and ever, to be here and among Christians, and then for the Lord to return, and one or others are taken, and you're left to judgment, left without a hope. That's why it's wise that you be ready, wise that you be saved. Now, there's two things I want to bring to your attention tonight on the ways to be ready, the ways to be prepared for that coming of the Lord. Number one is use prevention. Use prevention. Be ready. That's a mark of prevention. It's not a mark of wait and see, but be proactive. And just as architects and building inspectors, they advise that steps be taken so that when the earthquake hits, you know, that building's not going to collapse and kill everybody. They want seismic reinforcement, which usually means steel all around it. If you go to Surrey Hospital, you will see the old wing that was built way back in the 60s or so, when they didn't have seismic construction. You will see that on the south side, They built this huge metal frame. And we're talking about circular posts that are 8, 9, maybe 12 inches thick. And they're all welded and they're all brought together. And they just stand alongside the building. And then they put supports to the side of it to try and keep that building safe should there be an earthquake. That's the kind of prevention. It's not because there's a problem with the building as it is, but in an earthquake, would it stand? And so you need to think in terms, it's not, are you doing okay today? It's not, how are you getting through life now? How are you going to stand that great day when the Lord should return? Now, there's one man in the Bible who went through an earthquake, and that is the Philippian jailer. And when he was in that earthquake, he was terrorized, absolutely terrorized. He was a Roman soldier, a jail keeper, and when that earthquake struck, he did not know what to do. And it was a wake-up call for him. It was not the final day of his life, thankfully, although he had thought about taking his life because of his responsibilities as a jail keeper. But when he cried out to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul simply said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Oh, the simplicity of it. Oh, the security of it. Saved. I wonder tonight, are you saved? Are you protected from the great event of Christ's return, the end days of this world, and judgment? Are you saved? Can you answer that? Can you be sure in your heart that you're right with God? The second way of advice on how to prepare is avoid procrastination. That's always the danger, isn't it? And you know, you've got these people saying we've got to spend millions and millions of dollars to upgrade these buildings, and people say, it'll never come. It'll never happen in our lifetime. There's no rush. We'll put it in next year's budget. We can't afford it right now. And that's always a temptation to delay. Now, if you look at verse 48, you'll notice that the Lord addressed this. He says, "But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming." In other words, he's doubting, he's questioning, and he is procrastinating. And so this is really the sin of unbelief. And he says, yes, okay, we need this, but not now. And the Lord's not coming just yet. He's delaying his coming. Yes, we have these evidences all around us, and the hour is late, and the Lord warned us we may not know the hour. We will be caught when he comes suddenly. But somehow the innate argument can be, not yet, not yet. Put it off. Tomorrow, another day. And as it said, hell is paved with good intentions. The way to hell is paved with good intentions. And I'm sure that there's not one person in this meeting tonight who intends to lose your soul, intends to be caught out on ready, intends that when the Lord returns that you will be left while others are caught up to be with the Lord. You don't intend for that, but you're delaying, you're procrastinating. And that is the greatest danger. And perhaps it is the most subtle weapon Satan uses to destroy souls by simply saying, not yet, not yet. You need to be saved now. That's the only safe position to take. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. And the right thing and the wise thing is to become a Christian now, to be saved. Flee to the Lord for refuge. Settle the matter about your soul salvation. And no matter what comes, whether you die first or the Lord returns first, it is well with your soul. You're saved. And I pray tonight you take to heart this great word of warning. Watch therefore, be ye also ready, For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Be ready. Would you tell me tonight as you leave the meeting, I'm ready. I'm ready. I've been to the cross. I've trusted Christ. I have asked the Lord to save me. I know that my name's written in the book. Would you tell me that tonight as others go? Just tell me. If you're a Christian, you'll be delighted to tell me. And I'll be delighted to hear it. But if you don't tell me, I'm going to be praying for you. If you don't tell me at the close of this meeting tonight, I'm going to be concerned for your soul. And I pray you'll come back and hear the gospel again and again and again.
We may sound the depths of all the mighty oceans. We may tell the distance to the farthest star. But the mighty love of God cannot be measured. Its dimensions are so high, so deep, so far. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. This love revealed in Christ my Lord divine. When on the tree he died for me, God's wondrous, glorious, mighty love, this love is mine. I behold his love in every golden sunset. I can see it in the beauty of a flower, and I feel it in my heart since Jesus touched me and redeemed me by his wonder-working power. And someday I'll thank him face to face in glory, when with all the millions at his feet I fall, and through countless ages there I'll live rejoicing, sing forever at the wonder of it all. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. This love revealed in Christ my Lord divine. When on the tree he died for me, God's wondrous, glorious, mighty love, this love is mine.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. The subject of the Second Coming is a thrill to the genuine Christian. It is rather searching, though, and there may be those who tremble because they're not sure, or because they are not really converted. This subject is indeed the judge of the state of the heart. If you are soundly converted, trusting in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then you will rejoice at the news of his coming. I read here in this account, great Bible interpreters and great Bible preachers have generally received much comfort from the doctrine of Christ's second coming. Read these words from the pen of Dr. G. Campbell Morgan. To me, the second coming is the perpetual light on the path which makes the present bearable. I never lay my head on my pillow without thinking that maybe before the morning breaks, the final morning may have dawned. I never begin my work without thinking that perhaps he may interrupt my work and begin his own. This is now his word to all believing souls, till he come. We are not looking for death. We are looking for him. Here's another account of a young man who went to Australia. What does come again mean? When I left Australia years ago, I said to my mother, "Mother, if God spares me, I will come back to see you." For years she waited. Had anyone said to her, "Mrs. Talbot, what are you waiting for?" she would have said, "My boy in America is coming back." And suppose this person said to her, "Coming back? What do you mean? Surely you don't expect a personal, visible, actual coming?" "Yes," she would have replied, "that's the way he is coming." Possibly her friend might have said, "Did you ever get letters from him? Do you ever receive gifts?" "Well, that is what he meant. He is coming in all of these things." My mother would have answered, "Why, that isn't what he meant, for he said that he would come back." Some years afterward, I did cross the ocean, walked down the gangplank from the steamer, and said, "Mother, here I am." And our Lord Jesus shall likewise come in physical bodily form. He will personally appear to fulfill every promise and to judge the wicked by the light of his glory. And so it is time that we be prepared, not just for a theory, not just for some idea, but for the reality that the Christ who died on the cross and rose again will in that very same body appear at the sound of the trump, and we shall be caught up in the air before him. Are you saved? Are you ready for that great event? This is most important, and I trust that this message today has been a means of causing you to seek the Lord and to call on him for salvation. Now stay tuned with us for these closing announcements. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.